Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What an absolute slapper of a 12 hours we've had. In the past 12 hours, my love for The Simpsons has been reinvigorated. In the last 12 hours, I need a big favor, Alonzo. I need you, if I walk outside today after the show and crossing the parking lot, I am taken out by a pickup truck or something, I need you to take my laptop, my tablet, my cell phone, and every other digital device that I own. I need you to light a big bonfire, and I need you to throw them all in there. And I need you to do that because this morning, roughly 10 minutes before I started the show, I typed into various search boxes across the internet, Jason Kelce butthole. Now, there's a perfectly valid reason for that, and a reason that makes sense within the context of the radio program. A perfectly valid reason that all of you will come to understand later on in the radio broadcast. And yes, this is a bit of what we in the industry call a tease. You're going to have to hang around for it. But I need you all to know that this morning, I typed the words Jason Kelce butthole into a search box, and then I hovered over the enter button for like a solid 15 to 22 seconds, thinking to myself, you know, there's a valid reason for doing this. There's a justifiable reason for doing this. There's a good business, career, job-oriented reason for pushing enter. However, it at some point is very possible that a headline will be written and posted on the internet for the world to see. Local sports radio host searches Jason Kelce butthole on the internet. And again, it's a perfectly valid reason why I did it, but I did it. So if I kick the can, great one, in the next, I don't know, 10 to 15 years, before anyone else has the opportunity to acquire these materials, I need you to burn them all in a very large fire.
There's a flaw in your request, and I don't know how I could take care of this. I don't know if I can destroy the Odyssey app. And now that you've said it on the air, I don't know.
Yeah, but
I could talk to technical people who can tell me how to scrub things.
On the air, I have now said justifiable reason. There will be audio evidence of that justifiable reason coming up very shortly. You will find out why I did that. And again, it makes perfect sense in the context of the show. What will not make sense is if I get home tonight and I cast my phone onto the television. I'll do my BetMGM Tonight interview at 8, and then I'll go sit on the couch. And the lady friend and I, Tuesday night is kind of date night for us. It's kind of our night to sit together and watch some TV, watch a movie, cook a little dinner for each other, just kind of relax and enjoy being a lovely 40-year-old married couple that doesn't like people or outside. And if I cast my phone to the TV so that we can watch a movie or whatever, and I, on my phone, which now the screen of which is on the television, if she says, let's watch another episode of Justified, and I type J, and it autofills Jason Kelce butthole, I have to try to explain this to her and get her over the initial shock of seeing that at some point in my life, I searched those three words together on purpose with intent. And then I got to, wait, babe. No, wait, listen. I'm a sports talk radio host. It's going to make perfect sense. And she's going to go, get away from me, you creep. You absolute weirdo. I want nothing to do with you. On the show, it's going to make perfect sense. You're all going to be like, ah, that's really funny, Rob. We get it now. We understand it now. This absolutely makes wonderful sense. You're going to be like, it's understandable. But outside of the context of this show, which is 95% of my life, the fact that I search those three words in that order on the internet, that ever gets out of context, there's going to be a lot of people making a lot of judgments about your boy.
I'm thinking that's not the weirdest thing she's ever seen on your phone. So, I mean, you're probably good.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one. Lonzo, I would like to, aside from pointing out that my love for The Simpsons reinvigorated. It's been a long time since I've done or watched anything Simpsons related. And that's not because the show isn't still good. I'm sure it is. Thank you, Nelson. It's not that the show is or isn't good. I can't say that I know. I assume it is. Matt Groening's been a genius for a very long time. It's just that there's just too much else for me to watch.
I can't watch it because it predicts the future way too much, and I don't want to know what's going to happen.
Well, again, and I had this conversation with somebody once. The Simpsons has made 7.643 million episodes. They're going to stumble onto some coincidences for sure. But it is just the fact that I can't, I'm out of room. I have to fight for my life just to be able to watch wrestling, and I genuinely love wrestling. And I have to fight for my life to fit it into my weekly schedule because in football, when football season's over, it'll be a little bit more relaxed, of a little bit more time. But right now, we've had, up until this weekend, college football around the week, around the clock. We've got NFL that is starting to see our divisional championships claimed week by week. We've got college basketball, which this early season in the college basketball world has been phenomenal, dude. We have gotten some fantastic matchups and results. There's just been too much. It's tough for me to fit in The Simpsons, but I decided to check out The Simpsons broadcast last night. It's pretty good. It's pretty entertaining. It was more entertaining for me, a 39-year-old man, than, say, the Toy Story broadcast was. Now, I actually enjoyed, to some degree, the Toy Story broadcast, but I also have to acknowledge that, as a 34-year-old man, the first Toy Story movie dropped in 1995. I was 10. So that is like a pivotal movie in Rob Brown's childhood experience.
So the fact that both these teams are really bad, that didn't factor into, I mean, you going, you know, I'll find something else.
Okay, let's start off by being very clear. The Bengals' defense is really bad. The Bengals' offense is still very good. Joey B threatened 400 yards again, had three touchdown passes. Jamar Chase had a buck 74. They ran the ball just fine. The Bengals' defense is bad. The Bengals' offense is fine. The Bengals' offense is Super Bowl quality. They're just bogged down by one of the most embarrassing defenses in the National Football League. And then there's the Dallas Cowboys, who lost in the most Dallas Cowboys fashion of all time. Did you see the way they lost the game? It's pretty damn spectacular.
Just now they just showed it on TV.
Don't worry, because the radio meltdown was so good, I went and found the call of the radio dudes for the Dallas Cowboys having their absolute Leon letdown. That's a good football joke.
It would have been.
It's a good football joke.
Like 10, 15 years ago, maybe? Maybe 20 years ago?
Oh, it's still a good football joke. It's just one that not a lot of people get.
Well, only Dallas Cowboy fans now remember that.
Yeah, there's
much.
Some Buffalo Bill fans out there that understand the Leon letdown joke. Either way, the point is, Toy Story was a pivotal moment for a 10-year-old Rob Brown. So I enjoyed that broadcast for what it was. But as a 39-year-old man, it didn't really click. It never really made sense to me why it was, if you're going to do this gimmick, why you pick Toy Story as the movie that you would utilize for a platform, right? Like my six-year-old nephew, like, kind of got into it. But Toy Story isn't on the radar for him, right? Toy Story is 20 years older than him. He doesn't really click. The Simpsons clicks for a dude like me. Now, I'm going to say, I don't know what the ratings are going to be because I'm a child. And so somebody like me is like, yeah, I'm going to check out the Simpsons broadcast for sure. Let's take a look at it. But also a bunch of people my age are going to go, I'm too grown up and mature for The Simpsons, so I'm just going to watch the real game. Which, okay, fine, whatever. I'm not here to judge. If you watch like I do, great. And if you don't, that's okay too. But I flipped over and I watched it. It's pretty good. They AR'd Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky into Springfield, right? So like they actually had their own Simpsons characters. The broadcast open with Ralph Wiggum singing the ESPN. It was hilarious. They had, in fact, I'm going to play it for you later. They had Mo from Mo's Tavern give a pregame hype speech to the virtual Dallas Cowboys. And honestly, they might could have used it in real life because it went real, real bad. Real, real bad for the Big D. It was pretty interesting. And instead of, and you know, when years gone by, they just had the teams playing and all the characters. They actually substituted Homer and Bart and Lisa and Mo and Barney and some of the characters. They actually had them in the game playing. At one point, Lisa Simpson turned on the Jets and dusted the Cowboy defense for 7. It is the funniest thing to watch Lisa Simpson just absolutely put the screws to the Dallas Cowboy defense. It was hilarious. Like, it was genuinely good. So I would like today to talk a little bit about the concept of gimmick in sport. Because on Saturday night, as I pointed out yesterday, on Saturday night, I had a couple of the boys come over. We lit a little fire in the fire pit. I built a DIY outside fire pit. Not Saturday night, Sunday night. Sunday night. I was at the Clemson game Saturday night. Sunday night. Thank you for the correction there, ombudsman. Sunday night, I had the boys come over, and we got into a conversation about the Logan Paul-Mike Tyson fight, to which I said, because apparently, great one, there's a rumor circulating about a rematch, that they may run that thing back and do it again. Which I'm just going to say, I was relatively polite about y'all watching the first one. If you watch the second one, you're a moron. You're a Class A certified prime grade moron.
Yeah, I'm staying away from
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No, for other reasons.
Whatever. You don't want to see Mike Tyson's butt again?
No, it was...
Oh, okay. You're a moron if you watch a rematch if they do it. But we got into this conversation, and one of the fellas that was over was like, Rob Brown, he's from Atlanta. He's like, I listen to your show in Atlanta. I listen on the Odyssey app. It's like, I listen every morning. Why were you so heated about this fight? And I gave all my reasons. We're not going to rehash the conversation. I basically informed him in not so many words. Look, here's the deal. I'm a big boxing guy, and I feel like that fight does harm to boxing. He goes, well, I don't watch boxing, but I watched that. So didn't it bring eyes to boxing? I said, no, it didn't. It brought eyes to theater. It brought eyes to theater. It brought eyes to boxing the way that WWE brings eyes to MMA. It's not the same thing. It's just a pretend version of it. Blah, blah, blah. Went down this whole thing. And then we got into a conversation about gimmicks in sports because a couple of the guys over, big baseball guys. And we talked about the golden at-bat rumor that got floating around. Which will, I actually do want to talk about that is part of the conversation about gimmicks in sports coming up a little bit later in the show. But I said, look, I don't have a problem with the ghost runner on second base. There's actually a good baseball reason to do that. A good fan supportive reason to do that. That's not a gimmick. That's actually a good idea backed up by numbers. And I'll tell you what those are later. The golden at-bat rule is a gimmick. It's very gimmicky. There's no good baseball reason for doing it. That is 100% a way to generate drama, aka reality television, right? So it's very gimmicky, and I do not like it or want it. The Simpsons broadcast, absolutely a gimmick for the NFL. And it's a gimmick that, let's keep it a buck, doesn't really do anything to grow your fan base because, I don't know about y'all, I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons growing up because my mother and father were supportive and good parents. Now, I snuck out and watched it. Well, I didn't sneak out. I watched it in my room anyway because I had a TV in my room because my parents were unsupported. I'm just kidding, Mom. I love you. It's a joke. But I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons.
Wow, TV in your room.
Had a TV in my room.
Wow.
Wasn't a big screen. Don't worry. It was a regular old janky. Yeah,
they didn't have those then.
Box TV.
They didn't have those yet.
They did not.
Yeah.
So I didn't really watch The Simpsons. I didn't start watching The Simpsons like regularly.
I didn't have electricity in my room.
Well, Ohio, we get it.
It's not Ohio. It's just, it's poor.
I didn't really watch The Simpsons until I was a little bit older. So the part of me that wanted to tune in last night was somebody who watched The Simpsons as a grown-up. Therefore, I was watching that game, whether it was on The Simpsons broadcast or it was Monday Night Football or it was the Manning cast. I don't think it grew the game any, but it actually got me to tune in a little bit longer than I might otherwise. I told you last week, I've actually been doing a better job at going to bed at a, I don't want to say healthy bedtime, but a little bit more regular bedtime than I should for somebody who's got to get up at 3:45 in the morning. So I've been going to bed at Monday Night Football, halftime, maybe mid-third quarter. I'd turn the TV off, go to bed, and I'd get up and I listen to or watch the highlights the next day, the next morning. I stayed up and finished it last night, flipping back and forth between the regular broadcast and the Simpsons broadcast. It was a nice little gimmick. It was good. It was entertaining. It was funny. There were some funny moments to it. I enjoyed it for what it was. And so my question is, are these types of things good or bad for sport? Is it sport by sport? Is it gimmick by gimmick? I want to get into that later on in the show. But that's not all that we have to get into on the broadcast today. Our four Heisman finalists have been announced. They are quarterback Cam Ward, University of Miami. Running back Ashton Janti, Boise State University. I'm going to say University of Boise State University. It's early. I stayed up late watching The Simpsons. What do you want? Travis Hunter, athlete, University of Colorado. And Dylan Gabriel, quarterback, University of Oregon. We are going to talk about the Heisman Trophy because I have to say this. I think, great one, this might be the first year in a number of years, sincerely, this might be the first year in a number of years that I actually do think the best player in college football is going to win the Heisman. This might be the first year in a number of years. It may still be a popularity contest, a beauty pageant. And honestly, the fact that Dylan Gabriel is there kind of tells me that it is. Because there is another quarterback who was oft criticized this year who actually has better numbers than Dylan Gabriel, but was not even close to being considered. I'm going to talk about that later. But I actually think there is a very good chance that the best player in college football wins it this year. And this might be a year I actually watch the Heisman. We're going to get into that. We'll talk, obviously, some Clemson, Texas. We'll talk some South Carolina. ILL, Illinois Illini. Down in Orlando, Florida, New Year's Eve.
I don't think they do that, do they?
They absolutely do that.
Do they?
And I only know that because my interviewer tonight, Brad Evans of BetMGM Tonight, is an ILL guy. And he makes sure to yell that every time they get brought up. You got the ILL and the Hoosiers. We're going to talk all that and more as the show rolls on. Busy day. Don't go anywhere. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. I really like the Heisman Trophy 4 this year. Now, Dylan Gabriel, I'm not so sure about. He's the only one that I'm like, I don't really know. I don't know if Dylan Gabriel really jumps off the page at me. Dylan Gabriel's there because the Oregon Ducks are the only team that's undefeated in major college football. Dylan Gabriel is there because his Ducks are the one seed, are catching the first round bye. Well, honestly, should have, but do not, but should have hit the easiest path to the national championship. The Ducks are probably the only team inside the top four that there are no questions about. We have known since like week six that provided the Ducks didn't duck it up that they were going to be inside the top four. And they didn't. So, Dylan Gabriel gets the nod because the starting quarterback of a Power Four team that goes undefeated and makes it to the one seed almost exclusively as always, because somebody from that team is going to be there more often than not. So I don't really have an issue with it. I think Dylan Gabriel's checking in fourth out of this group. Cam Ward's going to go ahead of him. Cam Ward is the only reason that the Miami Hurricanes were even in the race, okay? Because I assume most of you at this point don't either. I don't trust Mario Cristobal at all. Mario Cristobal was carried by Cam Ward the way that Jimbo Fisher was carried by Jameis Winston a number of years ago. He's just not a good coach. He's a guy that very rarely, if ever, actually has his team prepared to compete. I cite to you the upset loss to Syracuse that very much cost the Miami Hurricanes a playoff spot. They win that game, they are in the playoffs. No questions asked, right? Because they're in Clemson's spot in the ACC title game. And if they were good enough to beat Syracuse, I think they probably were good enough to beat SMU as Clemson did. So they would have not only been in the playoffs, they would have been in the playoffs and had a first-round bye had they won the ACC outright. Cam Ward's the only reason that they were even in that discussion, because that dude's a stud. He's checking in third because the Heisman Trophy is between Travis Hunter and Ashton Janti. Now, the conversation that I would love to have is, who's winning the Heisman Trophy? Have you looked at the Heisman Trophy odds as of late? Greatman, I know that we don't love to kind of take the air out of the balloon. I don't like to take the drama out of a conversation like this. But if you go look at the Heisman odds right now, Travis Hunter's winning this thing, and it's not going to be even close.
I've been saying that all along. We'll see what happens.
You have.
The thing is...
Oh, there's no, we'll see what happens. Travis Hunter, as of last night, is minus 4,000 to win this thing. Ashton Janti, the only guy that even has a chance to pull the upset, is plus 1,100 as of last night.
Are you saying Travis Hunter doesn't deserve it?
Not at all. Not at all. What I'm saying is, I actually really like this race more than I've liked it. In the last handful of years, to me, it's kind of felt like it's a no-brainer who the guy is, right? Like it's kind of a no-brainer. Not necessarily because they definitely have the best player in football. Because again, and I've made this argument before, a bad team could have the best player in football. We do this with quarterbacks. We do this with, well, primarily quarterbacks, but this is why I have always said wins and losses are not a player stat. They're a team stat, and they should never go on to a player. That doesn't mean that a player can't lose a game for a team, but cumulative wins, losses are not a player stat. Last year, the LSU Tigers were what, 9-3? Jaden Daniels won the Heisman. Did anybody argue that Jaden Daniels was the best player in college football last year? I got a hard time saying he wasn't. And again, there are bonus points for being a quarterback. It is the hardest position in football to play. That's not a question. That's a statement. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. It's the hardest position to play in college football, which is why so many quarterbacks win it. Four out of the last five, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, Joe Burrow. Four of the last five, the only non-quarterback to win it was Devontae Smith, and the Slim Reaper was a dog that year for Alabama. Before that, Kyler Murray quarterback, Baker Mayfield quarterback, Lamar Jackson quarterback, then Derrick Henry running back. Before that, Marcus Mariota quarterback, Jameis Winston quarterback, Johnny Manziel quarterback, Robert Griffin III quarterback, Cam Newton quarterback, Mark Ingram II running back. Before him, Sam Bradford quarterback, Tim Tebow quarterback, Troy Smith quarterback, Reggie Bush running back, Matt Leinart quarterback, Jason White quarterback, Carson Palmer quarterback, Eric Crouch quarterback, Chris Rinke quarterback, Ron Dayne running back, Ricky Williams running back, Charles Woodson DB. That was 99, 98, and 97, respectively. You got to go back a quarter of a century to get to a spot where you didn't have back-to-back quarterbacks. And even then, when I look at those three, Lonzo, was there any world in which Ron Dane wasn't winning that Heisman that year? The kid was unbelievable. Was there any world in which Ricky Williams wasn't winning the Heisman that year? He got 86% of the vote. Charles Woodson was Travis Hunter of the time. No doubt he was winning it. So, with all of that being said, here's why I love this race between Janty and Hunter. It's over, by the way. Travis Hunter is winning it. But here's why I like this race. Because we have two dudes doing something that we may never see in our lifetimes. I'm not saying it'll never be done again. But we got two dudes doing things that we may never see again in our lifetimes. Especially Lonzo and I. We're very old. Right? We're like foot in the grave old already. We're just there. So, what Travis Hunter is doing at Colorado as a two-way athlete who's playing like 140 snaps a game. I heard somebody say the other day, and I'm trying to remember who it was. Oh, you know who it was? Here's a sentence, Lonzo, that I'm going to say that's going to sound like a joke, but I am dead serious about it. Do you know who I applauded the TV for the other day? The Oregon Duck was on the Pat McAfee show. Did you catch that?
I saw the highlights.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I saw what he was able to do. Yeah.
The Oregon Duck, who McAfee was at Oregon a couple of weeks ago for game day.
Apparently some kind of athlete, just saying.
The Oregon Duck came into the Thunderdome with Pat McAfee, and they were having a conversation where the Duck was, obviously, promoting Dylan Gabriel for Heisman. And Pat brought up the fact that Travis Hunter plays like 140 snaps a game. Nobody else in this race, nobody else in college football is doing that. And the Oregon Duck picked up a whiteboard and he wrote on it, snaps are not a stat. And then he threw the whiteboard away. It was great. It was a great moment. But I genuinely looked at it and I went, he's right, but it is a consideration. It's not a stat. It's not a stat. We're not going to go, well, you know, in future years, we're not going to go, how many snaps did that guy play? Because especially for a guy like a quarterback, I would love to see a quarterback good enough to get a Heisman Trophy nod, but who plays a quarter of the snaps of other quarterbacks. What's that mean? It means he's wildly effective, right? Snaps are not a stat. But endurance and ability to be out there and playing and helping your team is something that should be considered for the Heisman Trophy. Enter Travis Hunter. So Travis Hunter, doing it both ways, being a stellar wide receiver, a shutdown defensive back, can do anything out on the football field at those two positions, absolutely doing something that, again, I'm not saying we're never going to see it again. I am saying if we do see it again, and we see it again, and somebody's doing it again at the level that Travis Hunter's doing at, that kid's going to be in New York as well. But in the same year that Travis Hunter is doing what Travis Hunter is doing, something we may never see again in our lifetimes, Ashton Janty out of Boise State is doing it, and he's doing the same thing, something we may never see again in our lifetime. What Ashton Janty is doing right now is out of this world. The dude is averaging like 163 yards per carry. It's unbelievable. We talked about this yesterday. I said he's effectively doing something right now that we haven't seen since like Bo Jackson. It's unbelievable. If it was any other year, Ashton Janty runs away with the Heisman Trophy. Runs away with the Heisman Trophy. But what is happening right now is that Travis Hunter is doing something that's just as impressive. Here's where I land on it. I feel sad for Ashton Janty. I feel sad for Ashton Janty because the year that he is having right now deserves to be memorialized forever. We should, when we all grow up, we should be talking about the year of Ashton Janti forever. That's how good of a year he's having. I don't care that he's in the Mountain West. I don't care that his strength of schedule isn't as good as Colorado's. I don't care. If that was that big of a difference, we'd have a Mountain West running back doing something like this every year. If it was that big of a difference, we would see group of five players making this much of an impact every year. You could take Ashton Janti and drop him right now into Colorado, and he's still a Heisman candidate. You could drop him into Georgia. He's still a Heisman candidate. You could drop him into Ohio State. He would beat out two guys in Ohio State's backfield that are both going to the NFL. That's how good this kid is. His year deserves to be memorialized forever. But he happened to do it in a year where Travis Hunter's doing what Travis Hunter's doing. He happened to do it in a year where not only Travis Hunter is doing what Travis Hunter is doing, but Travis Hunter's doing what Travis Hunter is doing, and Travis Hunter has the Deion Sanders hype machine behind him. And for the record, I will say this. I've criticized Deion Sanders a lot on this program, and probably will do it again. But I'm going to say this. Deion Sanders knows exactly what the hell he's doing, and he's doing the right thing by promoting Travis Hunter the way he's promoted him. Deion Sanders being out there, being Travis Hunter's number one rah-rah shish boom bah cheerleader, is exactly how you get kids to want to come be a part of your program. They go, that's the guy that's going to get out there and be my Paul Heyman, be my advocate. That's the kind of guy I want to play for. If I'm a parent, that's the kind of guy I want to send my kid to. Regardless of Deion's stance and usage of the portal and all that, Deion's hype machine is a reason that you get five stars to come play for you. So this is a wonderful year. I hate it for Ashton Janti, because any other year, he is the, pardon the pun, runaway winner of the Heisman Trophy. But Travis Hunter is one of the most unique elite athletes we have seen in college football in a very long time. And he's going to win this thing, hands down, going away. The trophy presentation Saturday night at the Downtown Athletic Club in New York City. When we come back, let's talk some, let's start this conversation about gimmicks in sports. We had the Simpsons game last night. We had the conversation about the golden at-bat. We'll get into all that and more. Rob Lonzo and you on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So, I stayed up late last night, too late last night, watching Monday Night Football, because it was Monday night, and there was football. And with the conclusion of the college football regular season and championship weekend this past weekend, with the conclusion of college football's regular season, I had my existential moment of, we're almost done with football. Now, we're not. The national championship in college football isn't until January 20th. We have another month and a half until we award a natty. The Super Bowl next year is what? It's like February 9th. So we're 2 months from the Super Bowl. We have a lot of football left to play. But last night was the first time that I was kind of like, oh, man, like we're kind of nearing football season's conclusion. So now is the point where Rob Brown becomes an absolute football junkie and starts making decisions that impact my health and well-being negatively in order to scratch the old itch, in order to get the next fix of football. And I'm going to get everything I can. Thursday night, don't call me, don't text me, unless you're saying, Rob Brown, I'm coming over for some whiskey and some footy. Don't call me, don't text me, I'm watching football. When the bowls start up, I don't care that bowl games are glorified exhibitions. I don't care. I don't care that the best players aren't playing. I don't care that the transfer portal is open and we've already got superstars that are moving team to team. I don't care. I'm watching every bowl game that I can get my beady little eyeballs on because I'm running out of football. So I'm going to watch them all. So my addiction kicked in last night. I'm like, I got to watch Monday Night Football. And as I was hanging out in the bro cave, the lady came back from a work trip. It was rainy, gross. So it was one of those nights where it's like, I'm going to take my pants off and just watch football. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you were watching Monday Night Football and you see Rob Brown come across your timeline, recognize there's a 99.9% chance if you reply to me, you were applying to a Rob Brown who's not wearing pants.
Okay, I don't know why that was necessary. I think that's implied for a lot of people.
Because I need the people to know that I am indeed a man of the people.
Okay.
All right. So, I'm watching the game with the lady, pantsless, as a grown man has the prerogative to do. And as I'm scrolling the Twitter feed, trying to find some sound bites to play in the audio blitz today so I don't just have to lay on the horn the whole time, I get a clip of Homer Simpson dropping back in the pocket and throwing an absolute dart to CeeDee Lamb in the corner of the end zone for a touchdown. Homer Simpson's got a cannon. I went, oh, that's right. Simpsons broadcast. You know what? Bleep it. Let me go find out. Let me go see. Let me go check it out. Let me go take a look at this thing. And I got to tell you, wasn't bad. No, I didn't watch every bit of it. I didn't tune in until like the late first quarter. I didn't really tune in for all the pregame. I kind of wish I would have now, because there was some good stuff. Like, for instance, Mo from Mo's Tavern giving a pregame speech to the Cowboys. I'm hype. I'm ready to run through a wall for Mo. By the way, can we give some props to Hank Azaria? Just an absolute legend and icon in the entertainment industry, voicing Mo for like 1,000 years. He also voices Comic Book Guy.
Yeah, I accidentally watched the end of Godzilla, the one with Matthew Broderick and Hank Azaria.
That's right. Hank Azaria is in that.
Yeah, he's the cameraman.
Yes, he is.
And it's like, look, he did so much better after this.
I kind of have a soft spot for that movie.
Actually, he was doing it during that, too. I don't.
I kind of have a soft spot for the movie.
The effects are so bad.
Oh, I agree. It's not good. But I have a soft spot for a Matthew Broderick knockoff Dollar General Godzilla movie. Sure, why not? Anyway, I tuned in. I watched it. You had some fun moments like that. One of my favorites, just as a Simpson fan, was Barney holding up a sign that said, "How about dem Cowboys?" And Lisa walking over with the red marker and correcting the grammar to, "How about them Cowboys?" That was spectacular. Now, I want to get into the game a little bit later, but I want to have a conversation about the concept of gimmicks in sports. It's a conversation that we have had in years gone by, and it's a conversation that we will always have. I had a conversation on Bet for the Cycle on the BetQL Network every Saturday from noon to 4 with your boy Rob Brown and former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker. And Deck and I were having this debate on Saturday. He said, "Rob Brown, I blame a lot of the problems in American society on professional wrestling." And I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa," which is where I would have played the Rock sound clip, but I still haven't gotten access to my folder, so I don't have it. But I said, "Whoa, hold up, why?" And he said, "Because we're turning everything into professional wrestling. Everything's about scripted drama and all that now." And I said, "Whoa, hold your horses, time out. That's not a fault of professional wrestling. It's the way entertainment works. And we have become a nation that values entertainment over everything else. We value entertainment over education. We value entertainment over work. We value entertainment over our health. And I'm guilty of it too. I should be going to the gym for an hour and a half every day. Is that what I do? No. I sit at home and I watch football and I scroll TikTok and whatever, okay? We value entertainment. It just happens to be that Wrestling figured out the entertainment formula. They figured out the perfect blend of live and theater and jammed them together and made a one. It's no different than movies. Now, why is there so much of a formula for movies nowadays? Because you buy tickets. Because we value entertainment over anything else. Okay? So, on one hand, I kind of do view that as a bit of a problem. On one hand, I kind of do think, I really think the turnaround of the United States of America comes when we get to the point that we start to value education over entertainment. When we start to value hard work over entertainment, but we're just not there right now. Okay? So, this is why I think
real quick, he's so wrong. It's what's wrong. It's Real Housewives of whatever.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean.
It's the same thing. How many times have I said wrestling is bro opera? It's the same thing. It's just that we prefer big dudes in their undergarments fake fighting each other, and the wife prefers two ladies fake fighting over a fake husband in a fake LA mansion. It's all fake. It's just that wrestling, which uses the same generic formula as soap operas that have hooked women for 100,000 years, and politics. Does anybody here want to argue with me that politics aren't theater nowadays? Politics is theater now. There's no politicians actually doing anything worth a damn. They just get on TV and act and then ask you for your money for it. Just like professional wrestlers. Just like actors. Right? Everything is entertainment. It's just that wrestling did a wonderful job of figuring out the niche of the entertainment world and developing a formula that works. So, it should not come as a shock to you that so many sports are working on gimmicks now. That so many sports put out for one time only or once every now and then, whatever, these gimmicks. This was my problem, for instance, with a golden at-bat rule in Major League Baseball. They were ready to fundamentally change the game of baseball. One of my favorite MLB, is it boring to a lot of you? Yes. Do I give a damn? No, not really. One of my favorite things about baseball is the tactics and the strategy and the planning that managers have to have. They have to be thinking 6-9 outs ahead of where they are in the lineup. When they make a move to go with a pinch hitter or a pinch runner or to change pitchers out or whatever, it's not just about this moment. They got a chess match 8-9-10 outs ahead of where they are. If I make this shift now, if I change this pitcher now, that means that I got this guy coming up 7 outs from now. He's a lefty who likes to go to the short porch and right. I got to have a righty available. I got to set that up now. So when you go golden at bat, and for those of you who don't know what that is, first off, congratulations. Second off, the concept is a Major League Baseball team could send any player they want up to the dish for an at bat any time that they want.
Going to be so awesome when that happens.
No, it's going to be dumb as hell, and I hate it. It's going to be so dumb that I almost said dumb as an actual bad word I can't say right there. That's how much I hate it. All right?
Yeah, don't make me have to move really fast.
I don't want you to.
That'd be a bad idea.
And I don't want to get in trouble for it. But I almost said dumb as bleep is what I almost said right there. Because it is. Okay? Listen, part of the beauty of baseball is not just the 9 guys playing defense and the 1 guy at bat and the however many guys on the bags. It's also the guy in the dugout holding the clipboard or the I guess we're doing tablets now, whatever, that's running the stats and all that and trying to figure out what's the right time to make the right move for the right person in the right position on the diamond. And now you're telling me you can just go, Aaron Judge goes out there, bottom of the ninth, 1 out, runner on, they're down 1. Aaron Judge goes out there with 1 out, and he strikes out. And then they go, golden at bat, Aaron Judge is going to hit again. No! No, I don't want that. If you're able to get through Aaron Judge, that is exactly how it works.
I don't think so.
Lonzo, that's exactly how it works. I don't care if you think it's how it works, and I'm telling you that's how it works.
They could just bring a guy in and go, that guy's batting next. I don't think the same guy gets to bat twice.
They can use any player on the active roster in any at-bat. If a guy Ks, they can send that guy right back for his second consecutive at-bat.
Sounds like a rule that just wasn't clarified yet that you believe in was something.
Lonzo! You think the baseball guy didn't spend hours ranting about this on Saturday? I read every word of Rob Manfred's dumbass explanation of how this works. That's exactly what it is. That you understand how it is so dumb that you don't believe it's real. That's how dumb it is.
Yeah, you still haven't convinced me.
So I don't care. You're wrong. I'm right. This is how it is written. It is so dumb that Lonzo thinks it's fake. That's how dumb it is. Okay? Gimmicks in sports can be okay. But the gimmick can't fundamentally impact the sport. If they want to do a Simpsons game, great. There's nothing bad about that. I saw a bunch of people complaining about it on Twitter. Why do we have to just put about that? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? It doesn't impact you. The same number of people are watching. Maybe a handful of my buddies that are drunk frat boys who haven't grown up yet, that love The Simpsons still, maybe they tuned in. Maybe they got hooked. Probably not. It was a real crap game. But maybe they got hooked, right? That's fine. Where I'm going to draw the line is when you start gimmicking in a way that changes the sport fundamentally. If golf, what this is the comparison I use for golf, the match. I doubt Lonzo's watched a round of golf tournament with the exception of the match over the past couple of years. And I'm sure he's not alone in that.
All right, you're wrong, but I get why you would say that. I've watched some of the Masters.
Okay,
sure.
The Masters, yeah. Because the Masters is the Super Bowl of golf. Just like a bunch of people don't watch a single NFL game, but they watch a Super Bowl, that's the Masters.
I try to watch things that you might talk about, too.
Sure, so, 100%. I mean, you're outside the norm in that world.
You don't really talk a lot of golf, but you do talk Masters.
I want to. Okay. Y'all want to talk Farmers Open Championship? Because I'm all in. It's just not a needle mover. I'm not dumb. I know how the game gets played. I know how the cheese gets made, so to speak. All that being said, gimmicks fine. Gimmicks that directly impact, change the game, that's where it's not fine. If the NFL wants to run a Simpsons game, that's fine. If baseball wants to, I hope baseball tries this one time. I hope baseball, which by the way, had last year one of the best MLB seasons since I was a child. Great regular season. Maybe the best October of my lifetime. Spectacular playoff run for all of Major League Baseball. Wonderful playoff run. And then they turn around and they immediately go, yeah, but then we're going to fundamentally change the game. Why? To script drama? No. This is one of the problems I have when there are moments that are impacted by refs, that are impacted by bad calls, that are impacted by whatever. At the end of the day, we love sports because of the drama that inherently and naturally comes out of competition. Just let that carry you. You want to throw Homer Simpson in there? Don't. I'm fine with that. But Rob, you can't do this. You can't fundamentally and manically change the game to script fake drama. There's plenty enough of it as it is. Stop. Let baseball be baseball, my guy. When we come back, water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories. You need to know this AM. We'll play. I think we're going to bring back Faces and Heels today. It's been a minute. I keep saying it. We just never get to it. We'll find out all that and more after Lonzo seduces you with this sports flash.
Yeah, I hope they do breaking news to let us know when the golden bat's going to be used, then I'll tune in just for that. Ja'Marr Chase caught 177 of Joe Burrow's 369 passing yards and two of his three touchdown passes as the Bengals knocked off the Cowboys 27-20 last night. Former South Carolina Gamecock Rico Dowdle turned in 131 rushing yards for the Cowboys in the losing effort as the Cowboys fell to 1-6 at home. Carolina Panthers rookie running back Jonathan Brooks has torn the same ACL that sidelined him during his final season at Texas. According to team sources, Brooks will undergo surgery to determine the severity of the tear and repair it, though the date of surgery and timeline for possible return haven't been specified. Tune in Saturday at 11:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the South Carolina State Bulldogs. It's Furman versus SC State right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan. Upstate.